My sermon is titled, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet, and John sang that song written by Amy Grant. Last Friday evening, I took an amazing musical pilgrimage down memory lane with my friend and clergy colleague, the Reverend Angie Minky Ballou, who serves as a pastor over at Catoosa Federated Church. We went to see an Amy Grant concert at the Lowell Auditorium. Lowell is really far from here. I had no idea. We had to drive so far. Now, for those of you who aren't fans of Amy Grant, the Christian gospel pop star of the 1980s and 1990s, let me give you a quick snapshot why Amy still matters. Amy's known as the Queen of Christian Pop. She has 6 Grammys, 22 Dove Gospel Awards, a Hollywood star, no less, and made it to the top of the Billboard Top 40 charts. She's been singing professionally since she was 15 years old. See, my love of Amy Grant music began as a 10 or 11-year-old girl living in Fort Collins, Colorado. I had this much older cousin, like adult older, cousin named Kim Burns, who lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and he still writes country western lyrics, bad poetry, and just retired as a janitor at Vanderbilt University. He knew that the perfect gift to send his teeny bop cousin was an autographed album by Amy Grant called H to H. Now, this was my first album ever, and it was autographed and dedicated to me, Christy, and had her name, Amy Grant, on it with a heart. And I was raised in a home with no TV, so the turntable with the diamond tip and the giant speakers was the entertainment system. And my parents let my brother and I turn up the music as loud as we wanted. We would dance around the wood floors with our stocking feet, and Amy was my jam. My older brother Tim preferred secular music like Pink Floyd and Bob Marley. Even though I hadn't listened to Amy Grant's music for 25 years, when Angie and I stood at the back of the auditorium filled with the most well-behaved concertgoers I have ever seen, mature Christian audience, we both stood up at the very back and dance and slip back into our childhood memories of a time and faith that was much simpler. And in many ways seems more beautiful in its simplicity than my adult faith we have as we are now our leaders and Christian ministers who do all the hard things. For the ability of a song like El Shaddai or Thy Word to take me back in time, to slip immediately into a memory, I give thanks. Now, the funniest moment of the night is when the audience, loosening up a little bit, going a little bit, yelled out for some fan favorites, and I cried out, Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Angie politely corrected me that the crowd wanted Thy Word. Whoops. Anyway, we say Free Bird a lot at our house. I brought in a stack of Bibles. Here it is, my demonstration of a stack of Bibles to illustrate today's sermon theme on confirmation. Poor Lydia has not even had confirmation class. The white Bible was my first Bible I didn't have to share with my older brother. We had a big, heavy, illustrated children's Bible, and I like the pictures of Daniel in the lion's den best in that one. This Bible was given to me my 13th birthday by my very best friend, Krista Chavez, on February 8th, 1985. So great, you can even see the dedication with still illustrations. Now, I was still listening to Amy Grant on heavy rotation. This NIV translation is a red letter edition. And at that point in my faith journey, I thought if I read the red letter words of Jesus and prayed hard enough when opening the Bible, the Holy Spirit would tell me exactly what to do. Next, I offer up the black leather bound open Bible edition of the New American Standard Bible given to me by my dad on the occasion of my confirmation with Krista Chavez from the two-year confirmation program at the Faith Evangelical Covenant Church in Fort Collins. See, the thing about Bibles, they're full of, like, great memories. You have them stuffed in here. It says, it's presented to me, Christine Ellen Burns, by my father, Larry Kent Burns. And I treasure it because it has my dad's handwriting in it. He's no longer alive. And it has my name written by him. It's the only thing I have where it says my name in his handwriting. The following Bible is this heavy textbook Bible of my seminary days at Harvard Divinity School. This edition is the HarperCollins Study Bible, and it's heavily annotated and includes lots of notes in the margins in my handwriting. I don't preach from it too often because it's too heavy just to lug around. I have another one I really like, the NRSV. We use this one a lot. We give this one out to the kids. It's the Message Bible. The thing about all of these Bibles is they are a visual illustration of the faith journey that I've been on. My ability to read, understand, believe, deconstruct, and know more about the text has grown and been shaped by the years and lives of people I have met. Here's my invitation for you guys. I invite you to go home, pull out your family Bibles, and see what stories they tell you. The bookmarks and letters and memories I mark with pages also help me remember the past. So when you go home, check it out and come back and tell me. I'd love to hear about your faith journey down Bible Lane. We've been learning from Rachel Held Evans a little bit about her faith journey in this book. We're in a series, sermon series called, from her book, Searching for Sunday. And this is the section on confirmation. Now, confirmation is about more than the classes and descriptions you may have had to become an adult member of a congregation. One of the interesting aspects about this church is how diverse the spiritual background is of our family, members, and friends. There are very few cradle or baptized into the United Church of Christ folks. I was baptized in a UCC church in my mother's hometown in Minnesota, but was raised in a Unitarian Universalist congregation until I set out in search of Jesus at 10 after listening to Amy Grant on heavy rotation on my record player. I was born again several times. I thought you had to go up to the altar every time I heard an altar call when I heard the message of John 3:16. At my friends' evangelical churches or from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at the 4th of July celebrations on the hill at the public park in Fort Collins. You see, I had a simplistic, childlike faith, even though my confirmation program, even through my confirmation program, because I attended churches where there was good and evil. Things were quite clear-cut, and there were rules for everything. This evolved as my spirituality grew and I grew in faith and maturity. I wonder if your faith journey has taken similar twists and turns along your faith pathways. Here's what my favorite childhood author, Madeline Lingle, wrote. The great thing about getting older is that you don't lose all the other ages you've been. Rachel Held Evans continues this connection with this insight. I think the same is true for churches. Each one stays with us, even after we've left, adding layer after layer to the palmoset of our faith. Thanks to evangelicalism, I don't need a Google to tell me what the book of Ezra follows 2 Chronicles, or where to find the words, love is patient, love is kind. Thanks to the emerging church, I know I'm not the only one who doubts, or the only one who dreams of beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Were it not for the Anglicans, I'd never have found the Book of Common Prayer or fallen in love with the Eucharist. Were it not for the mission, a new church start she tried to do, I'd never known the depth of my own resourcefulness or the importance of taking risks. Rachel continues in her understanding of the continuity of the branches of the church here. At last count, there are nearly as many denominations in Christianity as there are trees growing from Pando. Each one looks different, beautiful, and broken in its own way, but we all share the same DNA. We tend to lament this seemingly endless parceling of Christianity, which, let's face it, can get out of hand. But I'm not convinced the pursuit of greater unity means rejecting denominationalism altogether. A worldwide movement of more than 2 billion people reaching every continent and spanning thousands of cultures for 2,000 years can't expect homogeneity. And the notion that a single tradition owns the lockbox on truth is laughable, especially when the truth we're talking about is God. In other words, unity does not require uniformity. In the United Church of Christ, a uniting denomination that brought together the evangelical and reformed churches with the congregational and Christian churches in 1957 to form a new denomination known as the United Church of Christ, we are drawn together with that biblical notion that comes from John 17:21, that they may all be one. The denomination's official literature uses broad doctrinal parameters emphasizing freedom of individual conscience and local church autonomy. I just love how Rachel describes denominations. Here she goes on. Jesus said his Father's house has many rooms. In this metaphor, I like to imagine the Presbyterians hanging out in the library, the Baptists running the kitchen, the Anglicans setting the table, the Anabaptists washing feet with the hoses in the backyard, the Methodists stoking the fire in the hearth, the Catholics keeping the family history, and the Pentecostals throwing open all the windows and doors to let more people in. Finally, our differences matter, but ultimately the boundaries we build between one another are but accidental fences in the endless continuum of God's graces. We are both a forest and a single tree. One big trembling giant, stirred by an invisible breeze. I love that image of one big trembling giant, a giant forest and a single tree. The church has been around for 2,000 years. It will outlive all of us. I draw strength in that mighty forest of God's reign. I draw strength in my childlike love of Amy Grant's music. May thy word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, as Psalm 119 claims. Help you as well as you navigate difficult terrain, long dark nights, and times of doubt and fear. This morning, this entire church was filled to the brim as we said goodbye and blessed the life of the Reverend Dr. Paul Clayton at his memorial service. We use this same passage of thy word as a lamp unto our feet in part of the liturgy. We have the light of the scriptures, the accompaniment of the trembling giant tree that is the church universal that we were confirmed in as young adults. We have all the memories of our journeys of faith that accompanies us along our days. And if along the way we find ourselves lost, afraid, alone, unsure of who we are or what we should do, let us turn to the scriptures and remember how much God loves us. God sent his only child to give us life, abundant and everlasting. No matter which branch of the tree your swing hangs from, at the last days and moments of your earthly existence, God will come and carry you home. In my understanding, no one will be left behind. God loves us all. We are part of the never-ending story of life and life everlasting. Amen.